Mic'd Up, Our Women Entrepreneurs is brought to you by Scottish Edge and is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland. More details on Royal Bank of Scotland's accredited support for women in business a little later. Hello everyone and welcome to Mic'd Up with me, Alison Walker. My second series is all about successful women entrepreneurs and we have some amazing stories to tell here in Scotland. In this episode, I'm in Perth, well actually north of Perth, to meet and chat to the two women who set up an underwear company called Malk in 2017. We have Kirsty Lunn, founder and creative director, and Ros Marshall, founder and operations director. Great to meet you both and thank you for talking to Mic'd Up. Gosh, you had this idea way back, Kirsty, and I think in 2015, look at you now, but can you take us back to those early days and those ideas that you had?
Yeah, it's been quite an incredible journey and I can't really believe just where we're at now. When I had my second son, I was breastfeeding and I was constantly fed up of uncomfortable bras, but also they only came in beige, white, black, I mean, always called nude, even though, of course, nude was only in one skin tone. And they just were really uncomfortable or not fit for purpose. A friend of mine suggested that I make myself one as I already had a sewing business. I gave it a try, posted it on my business Facebook page, and the response was overwhelming. It turned out it wasn't just myself that was looking for a comfortable and colourful bra, but there were loads of women out there who requested them. So I gave it some more work, came up with a pattern, no formal training. So it's been quite an interesting journey, very self-taught, but it's been so worthwhile and it's fantastic.
And Ros, when did you come on board?
So it was towards the end of 2016. Kirsty had come up with the bra and she was just getting hounded, I think, really, by customers, desperate to have one, and Kirsty was working on developing the sizes, and we knew each other because we both were part of a sick charity that was like that was for Perth Nappies and Slings, so it was like a group that would provide reusable nappy support and baby wearing support to the local community. And we'd both taken that over, and Kirsty was chairman and I was secretary. So I think Kirsty knew that, like, I was quite organised and liked to do things a certain way.
Which I didn't.
So Kirsty, we weren't actually friends at this point, but we we knew each other. So Kirsty said to me, could you maybe do a few hours a week, just kind of like doing a bit of admin for me? And she also gave me a plastic bag full of receipts.
And the accountant's worst nightmare. I'm still hopeless with it.
And so it kind of went from there. So Kirsty said to me it would be 8 hours a week. I think that was a lie from the start. and from there it just kind of snowballed really. And here we are.
It was only a few months later, I think, that we registered as a limited company. Yeah. And suddenly you were a director.
I know.
From meant to be doing a few hours a week, doing the odd bit of admin.
And now we're best friends.
Yeah, and where did the name come from?
So I very influenced by Scandi clothing, Scandi design. A lot of the fabrics I was using in those early days were from Scandi designers. I wanted a name that would allow the business to diversify. I think it's really important you don't pick something that is very focused on what you're producing. And Malk was just, it's a lovely sound. It sat nicely, it works for branding. And also it did sound a wee bit like my son asking for milk. As at the start, we were breastfeeding focused. Obviously that's all changed now.
Give us an idea of where the business is right now in terms of people, in terms of, you know, output. Where are you right now?
So when we started, there was just Kirsty and I, you know, a sewing machine, and we took on one little tiny unit between us, which we thought was a huge deal at the time. And I remember like the stress of us taking on that one building, and it seeming like such a big step. But fast forward to 2023 and we have 20 employees, we have 3 units, we ship all over the world.
We manufacture the majority of our items in-house here in Perthshire. We also use a small living wage accredited factory in Glasgow as well. And the goal at the moment is to bring everything in-house, providing employment for the local area, but also it gives us more control over the ethics, sustainability and things like that. But yeah, it's going great. All over the world we ship to, it's fantastic.
How do you spread the word?
I think the majority is social media. For the first sort of, I think, 4 years or more, it was very organic. When women buy something that they like, that works for them, they tell their friends, they tell their family, they post about it on social media. And that's the best thing about our customers, that they do share the word for us. They're always recommending our bras to people, which is fantastic. We are based online, although we have had customers come in, and they've come from all over the world, actually. We've had customers who've come to Scotland on holiday, but specifically planned their visit to come by to visit us and try some bras on. But yeah, social media really is a big one, as well as obviously Google. We recently won the Diversity Award with STV and we're on TV advert for that. But social media really is where things are for businesses now.
And how important was Scottish Edge in getting you that additional funding? Was that at a crucial time?
Yeah, Scottish Edge was fantastic. We didn't get through on our initial application, but they encouraged us to reapply. Actually, we'd applied early on, and looking back over my application, I can very much realise why we got no further. But the second application, we got to the final, and it was a really interesting process. And even just going through that application process was great for meeting people, learning, you know, what was required in that sort of business setting, given we were quite new to it back then. But the funding has been fantastic. But I think a large part of it is also everything else that encompasses Scottish Edge, you know, the community, the support. There's other people to speak to, there's always other connections, and I do think in Scottish business it is very much like that, which is fantastic. But yeah, Edge has been brilliant. I'm really glad we went for it. It was, yeah, we pulled a few hairs out along the way, but it was, yeah, it was a great process to go through.
Is there anything you would have done slightly differently had you had the knowledge that you've got now, do you think?
I think we'd have been more confident about ourselves, and mm-hmm. I think this is a common thing for women, is that we tend to say, you know, it's my little thing, it's my little idea, or it's, we don't really tend to big ourselves up, and we kind of dial ourselves down and kind of make things smaller, and I think looking back on it, we should have been loud and proud and shouting about it.
Which we are now. Very much.
But it
so.
Takes time, I think, to learn that.
It's sort of unlearning years of those things put on you by our society as a woman.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do. You know, you're told to be modest, but then you're told that you should be shouting about it. You know, we're told not to love ourselves, but actually we should love ourselves. If we don't love ourselves, who will? But I think that's a common theme with women.
In terms of it empowering, your products empowering women, you say that on your website, you feel women feel empowered by wearing your products. Is that the feedback you're getting back?
Yeah, like diversity inclusion is literally the founding print, like of what we stand for and what it means to our customers. And nothing makes us happier than the feedback we get from customers saying, you know, I feel so happy to see myself represented in your marketing, in your images, online, on the website. And we have like the most diverse size range. So we go from a 26 band to a 54 band, up to an N cup.
Can you get that anywhere else? I've never...
We believe we've got the largest, the most inclusive ready to wear size range. And this is why I think we have so many North American customers as well. Absolutely. And it's really important. And women, you know, you measure for a bra, At the moment, a lot of people still use the outdated plus four method of measuring, where actually the majority of the support of your bra does come from the band. But yeah, it's amazing. Customers will write to us and say they've been in tears because they found something that is comfortable, it fits, it supports, and it's in their size. But also, you know, as well as the more muted colours, we do a load of fun prints. And I think, you know, we've had people from all walks of life, all professions, and you know, they go into work in this super sort of, posh work, parliament, police, whatever, teaching, and underneath they've got like a Wonder Woman set on, you know, it's like a secret hidden power.
I want one!
I know, right? It's just, and feeling comfortable, it gives you confidence. And I think underwear really can affect how you hold yourself and how you feel during the day. It's nothing worse than constantly picking at your bra strap or pulling your pants out of your bum. You know, you need to feel comfortable and confident.
Yeah, and as you know, my background is sport, and I was always very aware when I was doing sport, when I had my period, particularly if I was playing tennis or something like that. You know, that's becoming less and less of an issue now, and it's something you guys have addressed as well.
Yeah, we've got our period pants now, which are fantastic. And again, I think it's something that people are finally talking about.
Continuing to move forward, what's the next area you might dabble into? Design and development's very much part of this company as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we definitely want to extend on the product range. We want to be making sure that we've got as well more accessible options and stuff. For more of our customers, we're aware that so many people are underrepresented, find that what they need isn't available, and we're really keen to address that.
Especially, I think, for myself, as I've become a wheelchair user, I'm now realising more and more why, when our customers have come to us over the last several years as wheelchair users and said, actually, your bras are really great for me. And we have worked more on that, but now I can really understand those problems firsthand, and often how inaccessible underwear and clothing is. You know, anything like that is considered a niche market, so companies won't look into it because they're very profit driven. But we are focused, you know, on being purpose led as well. And again, I think that's part of being a woman in business as well. We're definitely more interested in what we can contribute, what we can do, bringing products to the market that are needed rather than just to make us money. It's really about filling those gaps, and sadly there are a lot of them still.
So there's a social responsibility very much attached to the business.
Yeah, I really, and that covers all of our values, you know, how we source our fabrics, being living wage, real living wage and real living hours accredited. We also...
Enterprise friendly employer.
Yeah, neurodiversity at work. Business. Being neurodivergent myself, I think that's a huge thing. And everything, even like our interview process, an application process for recruitment, we sort of try and make everything as accessible as possible.
So you say, you know, lots of companies will say they have these as part of their, but they don't actually follow through with them. I mean, give me an example of how you would follow through with endometriosis and potential employee having problems there, for example.
So we have, we do have like an advocate within the business who takes part in the endometriosis support and training. And so if we had a member of staff, and we do, we have more than one, who is going through endometriosis, then there's that constant support, not just in terms of information and understanding, but allowances for the fact that some days may be harder than others, and more of a challenge and how we can work around that. And it's something that we do across the board. So as Kirsty said, it's not just it's in our recruitment process, but it's also, you know, we have things in place at work, like everyone's allowed to put the auto reply buffers, you know, so you could put an auto reply out that goes out and says, I've had your email, I'll come back to you in the next few days. To take that instant pressure that we can all feel in the modern world, that you've got to reply now. You know, we're all 24/7, and actually everybody needs a little bit of their own space and time. I think that has always been something we've been really passionate about, creating a workspace like that.
And there's a lot of things like endometriosis that I think traditionally are male-led environments, it gets dismissed, you know, women's problems, and they really dismiss the massive impact it can have on you. So yeah,
well, same with periods and menopause.
Well, this is it. You know, this, it really can affect you, and it is medical. It should not be dismissed at all. And by supporting an employee through what they're going through is really important. You know, we don't just want sort of a constant turnover of staff. It's really worth spending time on someone so that they stay with you, give you that loyalty in the hard work, but also it just creates much nicer working atmosphere as well.
You touched on sustainability, and I know that's something you're also very big on. You see you source everything sustainably. Where do you get it from? What do you do with the scrap fabrics, for example, that you don't use? How does all that work?
It's me again, nodding at me again. So a lot of our scrap fabrics will go to local community groups. My son's school, primary school, took a lot of them, as well as there's community interest company in Blairgowrie, and they take a lot of fabric from us. So we don't like to put anything in the bin wherever possible. We use GOT certified organic cotton in our fabric. Unfortunately, we can't be making cotton or growing cotton in Scotland, so that does come from Europe. As much as possible, we source things as close to us as we can to cut down on that, the air miles, the travelling. Brexit was a bit of an issue because of that. However, we've worked around it. We really try and have as much made in the UK as possible as well, like the elastic and things like that. It is getting more and more difficult, sadly, which is a huge issue. You know, it's been incredibly difficult even just setting up manufacturing ourselves. And we got told several times along the way, always by men, that we should just get them made in China because it'll be so much cheaper and it'll be easier, you know, no overheads. You just get them made in China, make a load of money, and then exit the business once you've made all that money. And that was a real shock to us at first.
Yeah.
It really was, wasn't it? But
well, you really told that to
On more than one occasion.
Goodness me.
By people in the Scottish business sort of community, it was. Yeah.
They clearly didn't know much about your business or much about you two.
I know how stubborn we are.
I know. It just made us more determined.
But, you know, do you think women find solutions to problems and look for other ways of doing things, not wanting to put a gender aspect to this? But you knew who you were and what you wanted, and that was your drive. And it wasn't ultimately about making as much money as possible anyway, was it?
No.
Is it?
No. I mean, we're a business. You know, profit is important. But as Kirsty said, we are purpose-led as well. And it is... We're so incredibly passionate, and that has not wavered at all over the past 6-7 years, and you know that will continue to still be the sort of driving force of the decisions that we make, and it's a key part of, you know, whether it's the board meeting or down to a smaller staff meeting, those key values always mark the decisions that the team make.
We're not into greenwashing, which sadly a lot of businesses do, but I think eventually, you know, it comes through our passion, our integrity, and we try and be transparent with our customers as well.
Is there anything else you've been told by somebody really experienced that says you should do one thing and you say no, we're doing it?
We've been told our products early on, the products were niche, but also there was no market for them because other people made them. So it was quite contradictory. A lot of people early on didn't really believe that we could do it because, you know, especially when we were breastfeeding focused, because a lot of the big companies didn't focus on nursing bras. They didn't see it as enough of a market. And so people sort of see that and said to us, well, there's no point you doing it. There's lots of products out there. And
did you ever waver? Did you ever kind of think?
No. Because we knew, you know, I'd already had the history there and the customers there. So we knew we had a solid audience there.
And we are our own customers.
This is it, yeah.
You know, so we do understand what we need. And we know that, like, historically, we have seen in, you know, brand marketing and advertising, quite often by businesses, you know, actually led by men, that, you know, the underwear that's presented to us, that's available to us to buy, has been, you know, perhaps might be sexy or it might be a bit mundane. But it's, you know,
it's M&S.
It's limited size. It's limited sizing. It's limited sizing, and it's designed to fit the stock they have. It's not designed.
It's made to sell. It's not made to actually make someone feel good.
You've really enlightened me about that, because the problems I have had finding a bra for my 90-year-old mother with dementia, who is not physically and can't fasten things and can't put things on without some help, and you know, she's probably, we had to compromise and just get her something. You know,
and this is it. We've got customers from like sort of 7-8 year olds right up to women in their 90s, all different backgrounds, who are looking for different things from a bra, and it's just really important that we can provide something that works for them.
So if you were to have a new idea or a new development, I guess your fine art background must help you a little bit.
Yeah.
And that, you think that side of things, and then you think where you are running a business now, it seems that they're worlds apart. But I guess, you know, those,
I think it's still influences. The creative eye, and that's why Ros and I work so well together. Well, Ros is the sensible one. I'm the creative thinker into the strategy, well, the new ideas, as well as the patterns and the designs. I still get that creative.
For our audience, output. I think, therefore, you should describe yourself. So that people can see and hear from themselves.
We've worn out this perfect. So I have rainbow hair, brightly coloured earrings. I'm wearing a leopard print bralette from Malk, great company. You should try them. And I've got a rainbow cardigan. Whereas Ros is wearing a black and white top, zebra leggings, also from Malk. Highly recommend.
Oh, I love
and
those leggings.
A black pinafore dress. Although you often are brightly coloured. You're not completely the sensible one, but definitely we have a good yin yang sort of relationship.
We balance each other out.
And how important is that in business? I mean, you know,
it's really important, and I think it's hard being at the top. Like, you know, and it's hard starting a new business, and it's hard keeping it going when you go through challenges like COVID and things like that. And it's hard, you know, you can't do that alone. But also, I think it really works that we are kind of like complementary personalities, that, you know, we have the same beliefs and the same ideas, which keeps us like focused, but we both have a different way of sort of different
bring different
set.
Things to
yeah
the
we
table.
Do
yeah, it was definitely the best business decision I made approaching Ros, and also acknowledging that I had weaknesses that were someone else's strengths, and I think it benefited
again,
me to focus where I needed to be.
Is that easier for a woman to admit that than perhaps other...
Potentially, yeah, you could be right there, absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
To think, you know, there's a gap there, I'm not good at that, I'll find someone who is.
And yet that is a really important thing to recognise when you're running a business.
What about the work-life balance? Because when you work for yourselves, and I know this because I work for myself, you know, it can be at times very 24/7, young family, you know, and whether you like it or not, is it an issue for women running their own businesses?
I think so, yeah. Especially as women, it's often assumed that women are the primary caregivers at home as well. And that's not the case for me, but I've got an excellent relationship where we've always discussed it and taken, you know, there's the balance there. Some days, you know, one needs to take 70%, the next day it's the other. So it's worked for me. And also when I started the business, I was working at home, so I could very much fit it around. But I did find that it took over and I had no balance. And when we first moved to the unit out of my home, it was incredible. Such a weight lifted off me because I didn't, you know, my home wasn't my work. And I could shut it off, and that was a big relief. And it's a bit strange now that we've sort of done a full circle and more people are working from home. Although there's a load of benefits to it, massively. Also, I think for me, I needed to shut the door so I could get away.
What about you, Ros? How's it working for you?
It's a bit different for me. I was like the primary carer. I've got three, my eldest is 18. And so I was like the primary carer for a long while, so it was a challenge. And as well, I think, is even though coming to work and having that set space because of your phone, people can still get hold of you, things are still happening at weekends, as Kirsty will say as well, you know, social media and things like that, you can, there could be all sorts going on at any time of day, any day of the week. And so it easily can be 24/7 non-stop.
Well, you are absolutely amazing, amazing role models. And I always, you know, when I see you now and hear your story, I think, wow, but were there moments when you thought, I'm not sure we can do this?
Yes. I think COVID was a massive, it was horrible.
I mean, I think as well, and I think probably all of us felt that impact because it was so fast and so sudden, and suddenly you've got to go home. And I still, even now, get teary when I think of the day we had to send everybody home from work and tell them all to go home.
And none of us knew what was happening.
And none of us knew, and everyone was really scared. You know, employees were scared. We didn't know what was happening. And paramount to us was making sure that they were safe, and we were doing everything we could. It was the right thing.
We didn't know what was going on, and as it dragged on, you just don't know if you can keep it going. But also, you're like, is it worth the stress and the anguish and, you know, doing everything that I can? And when it kept going and going, you just don't know if it's going to work.
I mean, the crazy thing was actually, because everybody was at home, more and more people wanted comfortable underwear, and we actually had a boom on sales.
As soon as we could get folk back in safely.
We need to get back in.
And because we manufacture ourselves, we didn't have the same issues that a lot of companies did, because their products were made elsewhere and they couldn't get them in. Whereas once we got everything in place that we could make everyone as safe as possible, we could make something. It was sold the same day, you know, because it went straight through. So, and we actually gathered a load of customers at that point. It was
so
really
in a way, who would have forecast any of that?
No, it wasn't plain sailing. It was a whole roller coaster. But yeah, there'd definitely be a few moments when you just think, when you're leading a business, it's a lot, you know, it's that whole sort of swan analogy, paddling away furiously under the water. And there are times when you think, you know, actually, is this worth the impact it has at times on your home life, your social life, your mental health? But I really do think it is. And that's when you learn to set boundaries and you realise you have to prioritise and delegate and find other ways of doing things. Because the whole point of having our business is so that we can make it work for our lives as well.
And I guess when you get that email or that post on social media saying, your bra has changed my life type thing, yeah, that must
so
give
rewarding.
You a real kick.
And we like cascade those through the business so that, you know, machinists and order pickers and everyone sees like loads of these positive messages, because it makes a difference. It makes a difference to everybody to know that they're contributing to something positive.
What are the potential issues that as you grow, there can be problems associated with growth, can't there?
I think stock could be the issue. And we had this for years at the start, because we kept selling out and we couldn't make enough. But obviously, because we manufacture ourselves as well, that means recruiting. And there is a bit of a sort of chicken and egg issue there. And now we really want to push more in the overseas market in North America. There are, I think that could be an issue, you know, when you look at fulfillment, there could be issues there. You've got to make all that stock to then have over there. And if it doesn't work, you've used all that money getting it there and all the rest of it. So that is something that we're very focused on, sustainable growth as well, to make sure that we don't risk everything. It does happen. That businesses can move too fast and overpromise. So we are quite aware of that as well, I think.
And I guess you, if anyone can find solutions to get round things, you two can. Look what you've done so far.
I think we're pretty good at thinking creatively. Can't even say the word.
Yeah, I think for us the key thing is that growth is sustainable, and that at no point, like, we don't want our values to be diluted as you grow. That's the other thing is making sure that those key messages continue as you get bigger.
Yeah, it's harder to control when you're bigger. That's
women
sure.
will always want underwear.
Well, yeah, we hope so. And not just women, obviously. We have a lot of non-binary customers. And that's another part of our messaging, whilst obviously very supportive of women. And like a lot of other businesses, we're we do speak out about our values and we do show our support.
Well, I really am absolutely blown away by what you've achieved, what you're doing, the social responsibility, all the causes that you're backing while running a very successful business in Scotland. And it's all credit to you. Well done for getting through those early days and to where you are now. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed for telling me the story.
It's been a pleasure.
We're always happy to talk about ourselves.
Well, I'm always happy.
Ross less so.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Our Women Entrepreneurs is supported by the Royal Bank of Scotland, providing accredited specialist support for women in business today and every day in the form of free help, expertise and guidance. Whether you want to chat with one of the local enterprise managers, are interested in the Accelerator programme, or would benefit from a mentor session on the Women in Business mentoring platform Mentor Match, go to rbs.co.uk/business and search Women in Business to find out more. Meanwhile, keep an eye and an ear out for the next episode of Our Women Entrepreneurs on Mic'd Up, coming soon. Thanks for listening.